So my deal with God is, if I'm going to show up anywhere, that he has to send the right people. So I'm so glad that you heard the call and got the memo. Because it is such a joy to be in the presence of other like-minded people. And I am always so grateful. Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Jay, for allowing me to be here today. I receive much more than I give. And believe me, I was in the book study this morning. I went, well, shoot, they already said everything I need to say. So, now, you may remember that earlier this year, my husband received a diagnosis that we didn't like. We didn't like it a lot. And he was told to take a path that we didn't want to go. And we didn't know where we were going to go, but we just looked at each other, and he's a doctor, so he knew that taking this path was not going to be good. So we didn't really quite know what we wanted, but we sure as heck knew what we didn't want. So we just turned it over to God and said, reveal to us what we need to do. You know, what do we need to do? I mean, we're bright, educated, but we're also in touch with God. And immediately we found a man who had the same exact diagnosis as my husband. Same exact. And in fact, this man had worked at MD Anderson for 10 years in cancer research and had never heard of this type of cure. And within 90 days, he cured himself of this disease. So immediately things began falling in line. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about, following the breadcrumbs, paying attention, taking action. So I immediately called some friends of ours, and we said, you know, we've heard about this treatment. They said, we've got it. Come get it tomorrow. We got it started. So without giving you too many details, in February, and Joe had had a biopsy and a bone scan and all that, and his PSA was 22, which is death sentence. Should be between 1 and 4. 22. So we got started on this protocol, and 86 days later, we went to his urologist, and he had another PSA, and it was 0.9. Now, I'm not telling anybody what to do, okay? This was our path, so I'm not preaching anything like that. But we looked at each other and went, wow. And so I questioned the doctor. I said, you know, does he need another bone scan? Does he need another biopsy? Does he need blah, blah, blah? And he went, no. He said, I don't know what you're doing, but just keep on doing it. So we told him what we were doing, and he was very grateful. He was open to it. He said, just come back in 3 months and see. We'll see what's happening. So in 3 months, Joe had another PSA. It was now 0.43. Thank you, God, right? So that's what I want to talk about today, is following the breadcrumbs. Knowing what you don't want is sometimes as important as what you do want. We knew that we wanted him to be healed, and we knew that we didn't want to go down that other path, but we didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. And you don't have to know that. It's kind of like Jack Canfield said in The Secret. You can, you know, your car headlights go between 150 and 300 feet. He said you can drive across this country at nighttime with just seeing 300 feet in front of you. You don't have to see the whole road, okay? So years ago, I had a brother-in-law who was kind of a curmudgeon, and he was kind of a good old boy. And he would say, you know, I don't always know what I want, but I sure as heck know what I don't want. And he was talking about women, right, and relationships. And I said, Bobby, that's a great place to start. Knowing what you don't want is a very good thing. You see, Napoleon Hill said this. He said, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. Now, here's the sticky part of that. It's the believe part, right? It's that believing. What do we really believe? You know, we have the five principles of unity. And we start out with just saying, that God, the good omnipotent, is, you know, active in my life at all times. And we all just are very pious and we just nod our heads and yeah, I believe that. And I went, no, we don't believe that. We really don't, because we don't act that way. If you really knew who you were, and A Course in Miracles says this, if you knew who walked beside you, you could never again be afraid, ever. So if we believe something in our heart, that is where we're going. Now, my son kind of grew up with me in Unity. I was going to Unity of Dallas, and I had to take these principles from my simple mind and down to his simple mind, and I told him, I said, you know what, Michael? I said, the universal mind of God is like a duplicating machine. It's like a copier. And you can take a picture and you put it in this copy machine and you can press a button, you can get one copy, you can get 10 copies, you can get 1,000 copies. They're all going to be the same. If you want a different output, you have to change the picture. I like to say it throws it up on the creativity screen. The mind of God notices it and says, oh, Jeannie's all worried about something. Let's give her more of that. It's not punishment. It's not reward. We are in charge of what we throw up on that screen. About 100 years ago in Dallas, I worked for a recruiting firm. It was an employment service. And they put me in charge. This is laughable. They put me in charge of recruiting auditors, accountants, CPAs, risk managers. And they had no idea that I couldn't balance my checkbook at that time. Thank God. So when I went there at this time, and this is way back before computers, this was like the Flintstone years, and my boss said to me, he said, at that time there were 8 big accounting firms like Arthur Anderson, Coopers & Lybrand, Ernst & Winnie, Price Waterhouse, so on. And he said, you know what you need to do, Jeannie? He said, you need to recruit these young men and women out of these big 8 accounting firms. But it's really hard. I was like, really? And he said, yeah. And he said, because they've got these dragon gatekeepers, and they monitor the phones. And I was like, okay. I said, well, how am I going to do that? And he said, you have to lie. Well, first of all, I'm a miserable liar because I can't remember who I told what. You know, and I'm just vehemently opposed to it. So I said, okay, what do you mean, Fred? I have to lie. And he said, well, what you do is you wait until noon, and the lady who mans the phones, she's going to be out till lunch. You're going to put somebody else up there, and you call up and you say, hey, you know, I was on Central Expressway this morning. I had a flat tire, and this really nice young man came, and he changed my tire. And he told me he worked for Price Waterhouse, but he left his sunglasses on top of my car. So in a perfect world, she would say, well, what's his name? And I said, I don't really know. And it's like John or David or something. So she's supposed to say, was it John Jones? Was it David Banfield? Was it, you know, whatever. And I'm writing it down, no. And then that afternoon, I call and I say, can I talk to David Banfield in the auditing department? And I looked at Fred and I said, I can't do that. He said, well, then how are you gonna get these people? And I said, I don't know, but I know I can't do that. So I started thinking about it and I thought, so what is the antithesis of lying? Telling the truth? What a thought, right? So now remember, we didn't have computers, we had directories. So I would look up in the directory and I would find the senior VP of audit or whatever. I would call and ask for his secretary. She'd go, Mr. Jones' office. I'd say, hey, this is Jeannie, I'm with Dunhill of Dallas. Could I speak to Mr. Jones? Now they all knew Dunhill of Dallas was a recruiting company, but she didn't know if I was working with him, so she wasn't gonna question me. She would put me through. I'd say, Mr. Jones, this is Jeannie with Dunhill of Dallas. I gotta tell you, I'm a recruiter. I got some great jobs. And I know that in any organization, in any department, you have people who are ready to leave, and you have people that you're ready for them to leave. And he went, that's true. I said, how about if I do you a favor and recruit them out of there? It started paying off like clockwork. The truth will set you free. Now, what ended up happening was when I would get a job for a CFO or a CEO of a company, I'd call them up and I'd go, Mr. Jones, I've got this great job. They're looking for this CFO, blah, 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 blah. Who do you know that might be good for this? And there'd be this pause and he'd go, what about me? Ding! You don't have to know how it's going to work. You just have to know what you can and you can't do in order to do this. And I have, trust me, I've told a number of lies in my life, and it has never turned out well. So I just knew that I couldn't lie, okay? So when we get into this idea of us being God working through us, how do we approach everything as if it is a holy encounter? We have to decide what we want and then pay attention. I have a dear friend, Stephen Lane Taylor, who wrote Row, Row, Row Your Boat, Living Life in the Divine Flow, and he says, and I love how he says this, he says, there is God, which is always there, and there's not paying attention. Because when we're in the middle of something, we're like, oh, where's God? I don't know where God is. Like, pay attention. God is always there. God is always there. Now, I'm a coach. I've been a coach for 20 years. I've coached informally all my life. I came in as a coach. And, you know, I just thought about, and I had some really great people who just showed up and they wanted me to, you know, really, they could just see my, you know, my energy and said, you know, I want you to go out and get 2,500 good emails and fill up the funnel and, you know, do a blog and do a video. Well, I did a blog years ago for 5 years weekly. It was called a newsletter at that time, but it wasn't called blog. But, you know, and I was trying to just, you know, go along, get along, you know, and, but inside I was just going, you know, I didn't want to do that. So I'm going to ask you something. Has anyone, because I discovered something this summer, which in one of my searches on YouTube, and has anyone ever used anything called the two-cup manifestation method? Well, thank you, God. I got something new to tell you. So this young man has this, and there are many, many videos on this, but he did this video, and he has an app that you can download for free called the Law of Attraction Library. And he talked about how you can use affirmations, deciding, you know, to work and speaking out loud, and also combining that with the Masuro Emoto message from water. You know how water is alive, it holds memory, it changes the cellular structure, and that's science. So what he did is he took two cups, and what you do is you write on it, whatever, this is cup number one, and I just wrote current reality, and I'm going to give you some other examples here. And then the desired reality. So his current reality was he had 50,000 downloads on his Law of Attraction Library. That was his current reality, and he wanted 1 million downloads. So what you do, I'm going to make sure I don't spill water in anything. No, I got it. Everything I need is provided, so here we go. So what you do is you just pour water into the current reality, whatever your current reality is, and it is imprinted with that. The water, the cellular structure, is imprinted with that. Do not drink this, okay? And then what you do is intentionally say out loud what your new desired reality is and consciously pour the water into the desired outcome. And you've said out loud, and it is now imprinted with your new reality, and you drink it. Now, I got all excited about that. And I thought, okay, if I don't really want to jump up on and really do all this stuff on my coaching, what is it that I really, really, really love? And I thought, I really, really, really love speaking. I love speaking in front of all kinds of groups, and I love teaching. And I also do a clutter-clearing webinar for health, wealth, joy, and love. So I wrote on my first cup, very few speaking engagements, small crowds, not much money. Okay? And on my new reality, I wrote lots of speaking engagements, big crowds, lots of money. Drank it down. I didn't do anything, okay? You don't have to do anything. So a day and a half later, I'm sitting out on my back patio, and out of the blue, like a thunderbolt, it just went right into my solar plexus. I went, oh my gosh, I know what I can do. I am uniquely qualified and exceedingly excited about doing my clutter clearing for churches. Let me tell you something, churches need it. I see the underbelly of the beast, okay? I go to all these churches. And, you know, you go back, and it's just, it's nobody's fault. It really isn't. There's three reasons why we have clutter. One is procrastination. I'll do it later. The second one is indecision. I don't know what to do, and I'm not going to make a decision. And number three is guilt. And I realize that when you go, and I see churches, and they don't use hymnals anymore, but they've got boxes of hymnals, and they're not going to get rid of them. No one wants to make a decision. Or they've got stuff that somebody has donated to them, and they feel guilty. So anyhow, so I do not only clutter clearing, but I do sacred space clearing to break up the energy and using feng shui, because there's a natural order. It's just like you have drains and you have water in the kitchen, but you wouldn't put a toilet in the kitchen. I mean, it's just common sense. So anyhow, I went, oh my gosh. And I realized that I have 90% of my work already done, and two people have already showed up saying, let me help you with this. And I can see myself at the INTA and the Unity conferences. I don't think there's another person doing exactly this. So there we go. So I was telling my son this, and this was at the end of July. And he is a professional fisherman for Cabela's. He also is a sales supervisor for a tire company. And he just hasn't made much money. And he was living with a friend in a beautiful three-story condo right on the water, but he didn't have his own place. He was having problems with relationships. So I told him about the two-cup method. And he called me back a couple of hours later, and he said, Mom, I did it. And I said, okay, tell me about it. And he said, well, on cup number one, I said, not enough money, don't have my own place to live, bad relationships. He said, on the other cup, what I put was plenty of money, my own place to live, and great relationships. And I said, cool, that's great. I said, what happened? And he said, well, it's so weird. He said, a couple of hours after that, I hear this noise outside. And I went outside, and he said, there was 3 minutes of thunder. Not a cloud in the sky. I mean, he's right down on the bay in Houston. Not a cloud in the sky, no rain, nothing on the... It was just bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam, ba, bam. And I went, what do you think that is? And he said, I think it's significant. And I went, yeah, I do too. So being the guy that he is, he took his other cup, and the first cup, and he just smooshed it up and threw it away. So he put his new desired reality out by where his truck is. So in the morning, he got ready to leave, and he said, as I walk by that cup, another huge clap of thunder. Wham! So you see, Dr. Joe Dispenza says that there's a part of us, and he calls it the observer. I like to call it the Alexa of the universe. Always listening and always responding. He's like, is that you, Alexa? So within 3 hours that Monday morning, he got a call from a lady he had met when he was doing seminars at Cabela's, and she said, because he gives fishing lessons, she said, I saw you at Cabela's. I want to hire you to teach both my children to fish. I'm going to pay you $800. Cha-ching. The next day, a friend of his called and said, Michael, I just saw that 5 minutes from where you're living is an apartment building, and they've got a special going on. He went down there, he qualified, got his apartment. And then this woman that he was seeing just flipped out on him, and he just said, I'm not having that. And he cut it off. And then he met somebody else who is quite spectacular. But all of this happened in 3 days. Now, I'm not promising you that everything's going to happen in 3 days or a day and a half like me, but why not? Why not? We put these rules, oh, well, this is going to take this long. And what I say is, if you say so. If you say so. You shall decree a thing and it'll be done unto you, and light will shine upon all your ways. If you say so. So what are you saying? What are you projecting on your screen? What are you putting energy into? What are you believing? Because your words matter. They have power. You are powerful creators beyond anything. I'm going to wrap this up by telling you a quick story. A number of years ago in Dallas, I owned my own condo at White Rock Lake near downtown Dallas. I drove a Saab, but I was not wealthy. I mean, I did okay. But I decided to work with this. There was something called the money game. And what you do is you can write out checks, which I hate checks, so I just wrote it in a notebook. And the first day, you write down $1,000, and you spend it all. And the second day, you write down $2,000, and you spend it all. And the third day, $3,000 in spend. And at first, you know, really, the first couple of weeks, like, that's fine. I've paid off my house. I paid off my car, blah, 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 blah. Well, by the end of the first month, I was like, holy cow, that's a lot of money. Because it just keeps coming. And I played this game for about 4 or 5 months, and I had channeled hundreds of millions of dollars. I had tithed. I'd given a big wad here to Unity of Bernie, just so you know. Let's get excited. I'd taken all my friends on a cruise. I'd built libraries and churches and schools. I'd done programs and all this stuff. And one day I woke up and I was looking at all the things that I'd done with this money. And this thought came to me that was so extraordinary. It said, I can be trusted with vast amounts of money. Now, that had never occurred to me. Now, that may not sound like a big deal to you, but it was a big deal to me. Because I breathed that in and I went, you know what? I'm a good steward of money. I can be trusted with vast amounts of money, and it feels good. Within 9 months, I met my husband, Joe. He owned a ranch, a veterinary clinic, kennel, and together we built a winery. Now, we are not multi-millionaires, but our life together is a result of our thoughts and our belief in God and our wanting to do good. So let me ask you something. Is there any little part of anybody's life here that's not going exactly perfectly? Yeah, I heard about people like you. I'm kidding. Because you are me, you know? And even with as much as I know, I still find myself sometimes, you know, something will fall out of my mouth and I'll go, really? Really? And I just go, cancel clear, and I move it on. So my invitation to you today is to get clear on what you don't want. If there's anything in your life at this moment that you don't want, write it down. Put it on that cup. And then think, what would make me happy? You don't have to figure out how, why. The how is none of your business. And do not justify anything. That'll just suck the life out of everything. No, I'm not kidding you. Your only job is the what? Joyously. Put that on. And you don't have to have 2 cups. You don't have to have water. Okay, it's not magic. But for me, it was really helpful to do that. But you can do it your way. But look at where your life is right now and ask yourself, is this the way I want to live? And if it isn't, write down what you want. Turn it over to the manager You know, the manager that made the stars and the moon and the dimensions and the cells and the body? That one. We have a magnificent opportunity to be examples of the living God. We have a magnificent opportunity to not just talk it, but to show people. When Joe and I opened up and just said, we know that we're not going to do this path. Okay, God, what are we going to do? Everything fell into place. So I invite you to compassionately look at yourself and to say, how can I work in concert with the God who has my back, who loves me unconditionally? I don't understand people who say, you know, well, maybe God just doesn't want me to be happy. Really? Now, I'm an imperfect parent, but there is no way I would ever wish that on my child or my pet or my loved ones. The God of the universe wants you to be happy, wants you to be whole, healthy, wealthy, joyous, strong, clear-eyed. And I invite you to accept that. I thank you all for being here. I love you. I bless you. I behold the Christ in each and every one of you. Thank you so much.